This is a production of Good News Community Radio Station. I am your host, Chris Meyer, here at the program called At Ease, made possible for us by the South African Military Christian Fellowship. A warm welcome to you. Our program is as follows. First, we're going to listen to our devotion by Chaplain Ben Smith, as he's going to read for us in Revelation 19, verse 11 to 14. Then we're going to listen to the marimba band, and the song that they're going to play is called Mdali Wetu, a Zulu song that means God bless Africa. Then there is the interview between Captain Peter Lawrence and Carl Carmody, the chief executive of the Challenge newspaper military edition. Then we're going to have Graham Wilson, as he's going to narrate it for us, the testimony from the Challenge Good News paper from Major General Sir Lawrence New. And the theme of that testimony is Great Truths About Jesus. Then we have Captain Peter Lawrence again with the two very vital questions concerning personal evangelism. Then we will play out with our last song with the Navy Band, Eternal Father. I trust that you will be blessed, be at ease as we listen now to Chaplain Ben Smith.
I bid you welcome to this rendition of Stand at Ease, and today we are going to look at the letter D, and I believe it should stand for drill, dress, and discipline. Our scripture reading is taken from Revelation 19, verses 11 to 14. I saw heaven open, and there before me stood a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the troops of heaven, clothed in fine linen, dazzling and clean, followed him on white horses. Our theme for this occasion is, you are drill, dress, and discipline. For those of us in uniform, concerted and precise movements of individuals as part of a larger unit are called drill. It is awe-inspiring, reflects strength in unity, and speaks of discipline. Uniform heightened the sense of esprit de corps, unity of purpose, and a single-minded pursuit of the goal. Both armies, the army triumphant in heaven and the army militant on earth, reflect this. Consider the following. In a show of strength, what is perceived or what is seen is believed to be true. The army that looks good must be excellent. Hence the Apostle Paul that says, the good soldier will always impress his or her commander. 2 Timothy. However, an outward reflection is not always the reflection of reality. Many are so-called competent. An intimidating military force has shown itself to be incompetent when tested in battle. You see, outer display is valuable for legitimate reasons, but inner conviction is more important than outer display. In following Christ as our commander, our passions are reflected in drill, discipline, and dress. The commander on the white horse is dazzling and clean inside out, and that is the requirement of those that follow him, to be dazzling and clean inside out. That requirement is not only for the members of the army triumphant, but also for us serving in the army militant. And let me hasten to add, let us understand that those in the army militant are they who have accepted Christ as their Savior and Redeemer. Even in the here and now, we can be found dazzling and clean inside out because of what our Commander-in-Chief has done for us on the cross. Let us pray. Father God, thank you that we are not and cannot be deceived by outward appearances, because we know that you judge our heart and innermost being. Thank you that we march in the reality of what Christ has done for us on the cross, and that we are indeed dazzling and clean because of the Master. As we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Chaplain Ben Smith, for this devotion out of Revelation 19, verse 11 to 14, where it is the letter D in the devotional alphabet that stands for drill, dress, and discipline. And it is so awesome to hear how the chaplain has explained it to us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and his dazzling whiteness and cleanliness, and dressed and drilled and disciplined, and relate to our military forces and armed forces, and to know that as a child of God that I am being drilled to be equipped and dressed. I think of the full armor of God and disciplined, and that is what Paul also stressed out, to be truly a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you are really blessed by this devotion. And we're going to listen now to the marimba band, Mdali Wetu. That is a Zulu song that has been called then, God Bless Africa. So let us listen then to the marimba band. God bless you.
Africa is a lead. Siazogoti is Bosozako Zipanilla Africa. Sisbonilis in Peburundi, Sasbonet YRC. Sibon in Dala Zimbabwe. Sabona, Nagogonke, over the politics. Because in God, bless Africa. Although we've seen all those different things, trials and tribulations in Africa, but because of your blessings, Africa still stands tall. God bless Africa. God bless Africa.
Almighty bless Africa.
God bless Africa. Kosim Daluet. Bless Africa. Kosim Daluet. Usisa Africa. Kosiyami. Ninwendo Zonke. Somanda. Kulunkulu ngonyama kaJuda. Bless Africa. Yes, God bless Africa.
Africa,
Simdani wethu,
Zimbabwe's Africa,
Simdani wethu,
God bless Africa,
Simdani wethu,
Simdalo wethu,
bless Africa,
God bless Africa,
God bless Africa,
Simdalo,
uNkulunkulu busisa izwe lethu, God bless Africa, God bless Africa.
Thank you to the Marimba Band. Ndali Wetu. What a wonderful piece of music from the Marimba Band of the Navy Band, the division of the Navy Band. Folks, we're going to listen now to Captain Peter Lawrence as he interviewed for us the chief executive of the Military Challenge newspaper, and his name is Carl Carmody. I trust that you will really enjoy this interview. Where did it all start for this newspaper? Because Graham Wilson is always reading out of this newspaper when he narrated for us the testimony. So let's listen, and may God bless you really as you also discover how God started. Years ago, I think in 1978, I was 18 years old. In the army. My first year in the army in 1978. May God bless you as you listen to this.
Attention!
Hi, Carl. It's great having you out here in South Africa again. It's been a while. COVID interrupted things. And we just welcome Carl to At Ease and being on our program. And glad I can interview you today. And yeah, it's been a long time because of COVID.
It has, Peter. Yeah, it's been probably 3 years since I've been out. And it's been very strange because I'm usually back and forth at least twice a year, sometimes more, because this is our biggest hub here in South Africa.
Yeah. No, so as our listeners know, Challenge testimonies are read every week on our At Ease program. And now to have our chief executive from Australia with us is very special. So how did it all start? Maybe you can tell the listeners how this started.
That's a good question, Peter. Yeah, look, we started with a Pastor Eric Evans. He came to know the Lord at about in his late 30s. And as time went on, the Lord laid on his heart about starting a publication that would share the gospel and so on. And so he started just doing it as a testimony. He photocopied, stapled together and so on, and then eventually came around to a newspaper. And so he started way back in 1978.
Wow.
And so I came into the work in 1982. And so by then the paper had really started to make headway and was basically just in Australia. But he called the paper Challenge, the Good News, but didn't know that there was an actual Challenge, Good News, in the UK, believe it or not. So they came on board, helped us to get going. And they were really lovely. And we continued to work together as a family of newspapers around the globe. So it started that way, and really helping people to step out of the pew and into the public arena to gossip the gospel really is the reason why we put out the paper. So any Christian can use it.
Yeah.
They don't have to say, oh, I have to do this. But no, here is a paper that shares testimonies, gospel articles, and can help Christians start a conversation, which is what we really want to see happening.
Right. So besides the military edition, you have other editions as well?
Yes. So we do, if you look at it, we do a main edition, prison edition, the military edition. Then we do edition for Zimbabwe. We do Malawi. We do Kenya. And then we do the Philippines. We do a main edition, prison edition, Hispanic edition for the US. Then we do a UK edition. Now, they're self-contained. They operate themselves, but all part of what we do. So we do about, I'd guess, 11 or 12 different editions of the paper for about 20 different countries, I would think, from a handful to thousands, something like that. So whilst it sounds big and grandiose, we really are a very small and quite vulnerable organisation. But we've been going a long time. As I said, this is year 41 for me and Challenge, so it's kept me gainfully employed all these years.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And a testimony is very powerful then to non-believers and believers to read a testimony of somebody's...
I think testimonies are incredibly effective, because one of the things I learned very early on when I came into the work of Challenge and started writing was that I would often get feedback of how testimonies have been a real blessing to certain people or groups or whatever. And what we found out was that people identify with a life story as important. Right. So sometimes you'll find that identified with a person who's come out of drugs, or they've someone who said, "Oh, I had it all. I had the right house, the right wife, the right family, but something was missing." And so sometimes that strikes a chord with the person who's reading the story and say, "Well, you know, that's how I feel. You know, maybe I need to really rethink about the importance of God in my life and what needs to happen." So the key thing about a testimony is, I think, that people identify with the story.
Right.
And they identify with the detail. And then hopefully from there, they go on to make that incredible commitment of their life to Christ, right, as a result of being awakened to their need of a Saviour.
Yeah. And even Christians, you maybe wondered a bit, read a testimony and are reminded of God's love for them.
Yeah, look, I think a lot of Christians, and we get letters back all the time, Peter, in the office from all over the place, saying what a blessing the paper has been, what an encouragement. And often you'll hear a statement like this, so it is so nice to read good news for a change, because newspapers are usually associated with bad news.
Right.
And, I mean, if you look at some of the newspapers that I've seen over here in recent times, here in South Africa and Malawi and elsewhere, I mean, it's just full of bad news. And, of course, the reason being that in their mind, bad news is what sells.
Yeah.
But in our mind, it's good news that really makes the difference.
Wonderful.
And I think people respond to that.
Thanks, Carl. And tell us, listeners, a little about your team back in Australia, that where our military challenge comes from and how it's put together.
Well, they have a team there's about 9 or 10 of us, I think, now in the office. So we have Jodie Bennett, who happens to be South African. And her and her husband have been in Western Australia for quite a number of years now. And she's up my assistant editor and does an amazing job. She's fantastic. And then we have Janice Taylor, who's originally from Singapore. And she's a sub-editor for us, along with Harriet Coombs, who's come out of YWAM. Bob Walker's come out of the newspaper industry himself and has been my lay-down guy for this year, 36, 37. We've worked together all those years. Then Len Lawrence has come to us in recent years, is our finance manager, and he's come out of a sort of background with Scripture Union and that sort of thing. Then John Palandry's been my general manager now for 11 years, and he's come out of a background in mining. And then we've got Tim Pierce, who does all our online stuff, and Tim's come out of he speaks a different language. These computer guys need counselling, I reckon. They speak gigabyte this and that and the other. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't understand the language, but Tim does a great job with his wife, Diana. And then we've got Graham Jakes, who runs our Impact Africa mission trip that you know about, that we do every year.
Yeah.
And so he's been with me now 20-something years. And of course, my wife, Carolyn, is my PA, and does a fantastic job. My wife, she's a gem. I'm biased, of course, but she is. And then, of course, we've got staff here in South Africa. So at the moment, we've just got Krista Brits at the moment working, but we're looking at bringing on new staff because our director, Quirtis, has been unwell and has had to resign. But we're looking at also staff we operate with in Malawi. And then, obviously, we have other folks we work with in Kenya and in the Philippines as well. So it keeps us very, we're gainfully employed. We have a good team of people. But leadership's always your challenge, getting the right people. And of course, we're a faith ministry work. There's no guarantee of being paid. So we just have to trust the Lord and pray. So we have a team that does a great job. And just to give you an idea of just the influence we can have. Now, over this last month, we've printed 10 different editions of the paper. And probably, I can't give you the exact number, but somewhere between 400,000 and 500,000 papers were printed just in 1 month.
Yeah.
So it's great. And we could do a lot more if we had the money. The problem we've got now, for example, in the US, where we're in the prisons in the US, we go into about 400 prisons. We print about 30,000 papers to go across those 400 prisons.
Wow.
And we get about 1,000 to 1,200 responses a year. Now, out of a US prison, that's a lot. And then we work at Crossroad Prison Ministries. But here's the catch. In America, we're reaching 400 prisons. There's 10,000 prisons in the US, and you've got 2.5 million people behind bars, and another 7 million, I just learned this morning from Jonathan Clayton, another 7 million who are on probation. And so you have this massive prison system that we would love to get into in a much bigger way. But the problem is, like every mission organization, is money.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it just shows you the potential.
Yeah.
And so we see great things happening, and it's been very encouraging.
It's great that you also do follow-up, understand, if people do respond to you.
Yes. Now, for instance, in the US, we work with Crossroad Prison Ministry. So for instance, say, like, you made a commitment, and I, a Crossroad Prison person would write to you, hey, Pete, love to hear from you, da-da-da-da-da. They would send you a personal note, personal encouragements, and then they send you discipleship notes. And they'll follow you through prison and keep following you and nurturing you and discipling you. And then even when you get out, you'll find there'll be contacts from them and so on, so they make sure you're staying on the straight and narrow and so on. Wonderful. And it's what we need. Because speaking with World Hope Prison Ministries in South Africa, who we work with here, Pastor Willie said to me a while back, he said, look, if someone goes into prison and they remain unconverted and come out, the repeat offender rate is about 85%.
True.
But if a prisoner is genuinely converted, discipled, nurtured and so on, and they go out and obviously get back into the flow of life, the repeat offender rate drops below 5%.
Wow.
So it not only makes spiritual sense, it makes practical and financial sense.
Yeah.
Because why do you want the same person coming back into prison? What's the point?
Yeah.
You know, I don't see the point to it. And I was saying, well, let's do it.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so as a result of that, the prison authorities are very happy with us.
Wonderful. Well, Carl, it's been fantastic chatting to you. And we just know the Lord's going to continue to bless you and use you greatly as you minister to people around the world. And we're so thankful for your support for our military challenge paper here in South Africa. We're thankful to Intercape, which help us distribute it.
Yes, yes.
And we also get these papers to deploy peacekeepers in Africa, our forces that are in northern Mozambique and DRC. And
well, really praying we can get into Brazil and Portugal, as we've talked about, with the Portuguese edition, get all that done, as we can spread the net a little bit further, because the armed forces need encouragement. You know, they really do, and they need the Lord.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Carl. And
Safe trip
back, returning to Australia.
Yeah.
I think still in 2 weeks' time, so you're out here doing ministry work, promoting your paper, and being a blessing to many. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Peter. It's my pleasure.
Thank you, Captain Peter Lawrence, for that interview. It is very, very interesting to see how God has working and put people together. And I really stand amazed and shocked in the same time, if you think of 10,000 prisons in the United States. And I think here in South Africa, just close to 240, I think. And I talk out of correction. But it's a lot of people in prison, and to discover that 85% of the people that go on parole, that they are back in prison, there's a great need that God really needs to intervene in our prisons and help to stop crime. And I'm so glad, folks, you know, that God's word, through the newspapers, through the various editions of the newspaper, this Challenge newspaper, that it reach our people. And the prayer is really that the Lord, through the newspapers and the different editions, will touch people's hearts and lives, and that really they will be a true testimony of what God is doing in their lives. And I want to say thank you to our chief executive, Carl Carmody, also to be obedient unto the call of God. And we also pray together with you, sir, that God will provide the finances and the resources for you. And what is so awesome, that you are a handful of people that do such an extraordinary work out there and touch thousands upon thousands of people's lives. We will never know what is the weight of that until we will stand one day before the throne of God. And if God say to you, sir, just turn around, and you're going to turn around and see, and you're going to stand amazed to see what God has done through your obedience and to the rest of that small little group of people with such a tremendous impact in the world. May God bless you richly. Folks, we're going to listen now to Graham Wilson as he's going to narrate it from this South African Christian or Challenge newspaper, as he's going to talk about Major General Sir Lawrence New, his testimony, And the theme of this testimony is great truths about Jesus. Let's listen now to that. Thank you, Graham.
The following testimony is taken from the military edition of the Challenge newspaper, Truths About Jesus, by Major General Sir Lawrence New. We are ambassadors for Christ. We are partners with the Holy Spirit. We have not only to live our lives that are seen to be consistent with our faith, we have also to be able to explain the truths about Jesus to those to whom we have earned the right to speak. The first of these foundational truths is that unlike any other man who ever lived, Jesus was, as the Book of Common Prayer so aptly puts it, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, made man. It is an inescapable truth which Jesus clearly believed himself, and which Mary and Joseph knew to be a fact, that he had been immaculately conceived. We look about the great truth about Jesus in his deity. Some elements of the Church cannot accept Jesus' deity. They argue that he was merely the greatest man who ever lived. Indeed, those otherwise admirable Jehovah's Witnesses will present you with a book so titled when they come to your door. Paul, with his brilliant, trained, and inspired brain, rejects any claim that Jesus was merely the greatest man who ever lived. He insists that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. The Gospel writers also will have none of it. Jesus points to Christ's own prayer, "Glorify me in your presence, Father, with the glory I had with you before the world began," John 17, verse 5. His insistence, "I and the Father are one," John 10, verse 3, to his claim, "The Father is in me, and I in the Father," John chapter 10, verse 38, and to his assertion, "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father," John 14, verse 9 and 10. It is true that Christ's godliness made him the most powerful preacher and teacher of all time. The Sermon on the Mount is surely one of the most profound series of truths ever taught. Even his enemies wondered at his power of speech and his teaching. It's true that Jesus was the most outstanding healer of all time. Jairus' daughter, Lazarus, the centurion's son, the sick man let down through the roof, the lame man at the pool of Bethsaida, the blind girl, the man at Gadara, so filled with demons that he was called Legion. The Gospels record countless such healings. It's clear that he was a superb strategist, devoting hours to the training of his apostles, preparing them to be leaders of the young church. But none of this is enough. Christ's claims about himself leave no room for escape. Suppose a man was to stand before you and say, "I and the Heavenly Father are one. Do you want to find God? Then come through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Are you anxious sometimes about death? "I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, you will never die into all eternity. I have the right to forgive your sins. One day I'm going to come back to this world to judge all people of all time, including you. And what happens to you for your all eternity depends upon your response to my words." And suppose as he was speaking, someone was to come forward to kneel in front of him, raise his arms and say, "My Lord and my God," what would you think? If, as you watched, you saw him not only accept the man's worship, but rebuke him gently for being so slow to believe. All of these claims that Jesus made about himself force any honest observer to choose one of only three possibilities. Jesus was either a fraud, and his apostles and witnesses with him, or a laving megalomaniac, which the evidence simply does not support, or the Messiah, to which all the Old and New Testament evidence points. There is one further compelling piece of evidence which supports the claim of Christ's deity. In face of unrelenting temptation of the most subtle kind, Jesus was sinless. Isaiah foretold this, Isaiah 53 verse 9. The angel Gabriel told Mary that her son would be without fault. The Gospels and the Epistles bear out this unique feature of his earthly life. For those who refuse to accept the evidence of the Bible, it will be challenging to point out that even the Quran agrees that Jesus of Nazareth knew no sin. In witnessing to those who ask, we can, as Christ's ambassadors, assert with total confidence that Jesus was God in Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. His deity was and is beyond doubt. It's important to know what you believe and why, so that when you're challenged or simply asked to explain, you have an answer that is well-founded. These points given to us by Major General Sir Lawrence New will be of help to you.
What a remarkable testimony. And what I love is how this man quoting the scripture in his testimony. And that's awesome to know, you know. And I think that is what Proverbs also say, you know, that really a reliable witness saves lives because it is not fake. You know, if you look at, let's say, a TV series or a movie, and it's just fiction, you know, science fiction or fiction. There's not really much power in it because it is fiction. It's not real. But when you look at a movie or a video and you say it is based on a true story, that has a tremendous impact in someone's life because you are nailed to that movie, to that screen, because it is a true, based on a true story, true incidences, true facts. It's not artificial. And especially if there is children involved, how it is really binding in one's conscience is like you are looking at a thriller, something like that. You know, that it just captivates your heart and your mind. May God bless each and everyone as you can maybe relate to that testimony. Well, folks, we are coming very close to our end of our program. We still have now Captain Peter Lawrence with the two vital questions concerning personal evangelism. And I trust that you have a piece of paper and a pen at hand so that you can dot some of these very reliable and viable principles down and that you can apply it into your own life. Thank you, Captain.
Today, listeners, it is my privilege to share with you one of many ways to share the precious gospel with others. Knowing this outline also reminds one of how you came to salvation and just what is the wonderful love of God that reached down to you, what you did and do believe. You are encouraged in your faith and walk with Almighty God, just sharing this gospel with others. So now you've developed a friendly relationship with the person that you're speaking to. They feel comfortable in your presence, and you feel now that you have permission to share the gospel. So you might now ask them about their church or your church. You get a good idea if they go to church or not, and you could share something about your church, maybe a testimony of your church, something wonderful that's happened, or how it was started. And then you might also share your personal assurance testimony at this time, short and to the point. But now, importantly, you may ask to share a question. May I ask you a question? So this is key. Obviously, they'll say yes or no, but mostly people will say yes, you having developed a friendly relationship with them. And if they say no, this what would the question have been will always burn deep in their hearts. And they may come back to you one day and say, what was that question you were going to ask me? But as I said, mostly they will say, yes, you may ask a question. So these are the two diagnostic questions then. The question one, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain that if you were to die today, you would go to heaven? So this challenges them. It's obviously either going yes, no, I'm not sure. And so you're diagnosing their spiritual state and where they stand before Almighty God, what they believe in for eternal life. Would they go to heaven? This is also then very clear in 1 John 5:13 that you might say to them that it was written, I write these things to you who believe that you may know that you have eternal life. So you're clearly saying to them, one may know, you don't have to live life being not sure if you will receive the gift of eternal life. It's written in 1 John 5:13 then that you may certainly know for certain that you have eternal life. Now you must get permission to share the gospel. So you'd ask them, may I share with you how I came to know I have eternal life? So this is important that they have given you permission. And then you say, before I do then, if they've said yes, you may. Before I do, let me ask you another question. Suppose you were to die today and stand before God, and he were to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? So now you trying to understand whatever the answer to the first question, you're trying to understand what they're believing in to receive eternal life. And this is important, like a doctor diagnosing ailment, that you understand what they're believing in. Obviously, if they believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life, and they've answered yes, then they are Christians. And you may just say to them, well, can I just share with you again the gospel that encourage us both how we came to salvation? But clearly, if they give the wrong answer and they said no, then they're not sure they would go to heaven. And now you clearly can see that they are needing to hear the gospel. You repeat and confirm their answers. So they can't deny at the end that they gave a wrong answer. And they've repeated and confirmed what they said. So this is wonderful transition into the good news. And you'd be happy at this point to say to them, well, I have very good news for you that I'm going to share. And now you proceed into the gospel. And so this is a loving way to share with someone, whether it be just over 5 minutes or 30 minutes in an aircraft or just in a bus or a shopping mall, just when you have an opportunity, or maybe a neighbor and you've got more time. But you can always adapt this for the time that you have available. So also I thank Evangelism Explosion South Africa for this outline and the training I've received over the years. Next time I shall share this outline with you, and it'll be how to present the precious gospel to someone. I thank you.
Well, thank you, Captain, for that very, very important lessons and teachings that you give us on personal evangelism. Folks, we're going to play now out with the Navy Band called Eternal Father. But before I do that, I just want to say thank you to all our content providers. I salute you in the name of Jesus. It is a honor for us to be your host here at Good News Community Radio Station. I trust that everybody was really blessed. If you want to contact the South African Military Christian Fellowship, either to just send a WhatsApp to them or just maybe require for one of those newspapers editions, then feel free to phone them or send them a WhatsApp or a SMS to, here is the number of the SAMCF cell number. It is 062-028-7546. Their Gmail is samcf3@gmail.com. And I trust that the Lord will really bless you as you write to them. And may God bless you and thank you for tuning in. Until next Tuesday, the Lord's willing, the same time, the same place, be at ease. God bless.